Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This is the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, a podcast for diehard Cleveland Indians fans, presented to you by WaitingForNextYear.com. Now, here are the hosts, Matt and Todd Dairy.
Here we go, everybody. Monday, June 14th, time for another edition of the Dairy Brothers Tribecast, right here at WaitingForNextYear.com. Thank you for listening and joining us. Of course, we're brought to you by Dr. Ben Hornstein, his crew at the Center for Advanced Dentistry, and BreakingT.com/Dairy, best t-shirts around when it comes to your favorite teams. Matt and Todd with you. Tribe takes 2 out of 3 from the Mariners over the weekend. Todd and I saw each other this weekend. That was exciting. Actually caught some of the Saturday game together, but what a comeback. Yesterday, you were down there for the Shane Bieber experience, which turned out to be kind of a dud, but look, time to beat up on some bad teams. The Indians did take 2 out of 3 from Seattle, but now you get the Orioles, you get the Pirates, and still a lot of questions about where this team is right now after watching yesterday.
You know, yesterday, after Saturday's comeback win, you're going for the sweep. You got Shane Bieber on the mound, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is great. We're going to sweep the Mariners after basically not winning. Saturday was all but a lost cause. And yet they came through, and with the unbelievable comeback. But you're thinking, oh, this is great. I'm gonna be able to see a sweep. Shane Bieber, Mariners stink. And God, he just wasn't good yesterday. He was not good. And you know how it works with this team when they start the game usually with about nothing in the first 3-4 innings. Things just kind of go downhill quickly. And yeah, it was not a fun game to be at. It was also my first experience of being in the stadium with a full crowd.
How was that?
Well, here's what I'll say. It was good from a aesthetic standpoint and wonderful that there were, 20,000 people there and the crowd was loud and, I know that I have been vaccinated. I'm double vaxxed. I'm all good. But just like sitting next to a stranger that close just still wasn't, again, it's going to take some time to, but just, I was leaning, I had Brooke with me and she was on the aisle because she's not vaccinated because she's not 12 yet. And, I just was leaning in her direction, and the person next to me was a woman. She was, with her 2 kids and husband and it was fine. But like, it just felt a little strange. But the thing that, it was just, I'm walking into the stadium. Like normally this year, when I've walked into the stadium, I walk right in. There was like a long line to get in yesterday. And the concession lines were really long. And to get a hot dog, it took a long time. I was like, all right, I guess I got to get used to this again. But, overall, it's just, it was a good experience. And I'm glad, the team needs the fans. The fans need, the fans need this. We all need this. So, overall, it's definitely a good thing. It's just, took me a little time to get used to
that. When you walked in yesterday, were they like, Billy Ray, is that you?
That's what you think it is.
But, let's talk about the week that was. I did get to see you in Columbus over the weekend. We got the Bieber struggles. I have no idea who's in this rotation outside of Savali and Bieber. It's nuts to think about the pitching factory, and you know who your 5 starters are always going to be under Tito and Uncle Ruben and Carl Willis, and this is a complete mess. We'll go over the pitching matchups for this week. 4 with the Orioles. I like to talk about the Orioles, actually. Monday through Thursday, Pittsburgh. 3 games in Pittsburgh. Tribe Pirates. Our friend Brutal Stephanie will be making the trip.
Ooh,
I did see that on Twitter. So
how about this? I got a photo of me and Stephanie from the last time the Buccos and the Tribe played in Pittsburgh, when the executive producer and I took one child each. It was on July. It was July 4th. It was years ago, now that I think about it. But yeah, good stuff.
Do we have a College Park update from the executive producer?
We'll get Blacksburg.
We'll get into that coming up next. Bobby Bradley doing well. You know, the division, is the division over? This is crazy. We got a ton to talk about, but you know, where do you want to start, Todd? I mean, the starting pitching. I mean, look, we've talked about the offense ad nauseum. We called for Owen Miller 2 months ago. He's come up and he's hitting like 100. Maybe going down soon when Luplo gets back.
Someone's got to go. He's got to be the odd man down, right?
Well, they got to get his confidence back. So you send him back down. At least let him swing the bat again. He hasn't played in a few days, other than pinch hitting. But you know, you look at it and you go, man, Bieber had a bad day yesterday. He's going to have a clunker or two. That happens. He's not been as sharp as maybe he has been the last couple of years. But Aaron Civale has been fantastic. And so it's those two guys, but like tonight, you know, here comes J.C. Mejia, who's going to get another start, but he couldn't get out of the first inning the other night. So, like, it's crazy to look up and go, what are they going to do?
In all fairness to J.C. Mejia, the game against the Cardinals this week, he had Yadier Molina struck out.
Yes.
It was a 3-2 pitch, and it was a definite strike. And if Yadier Molina is – if Tommy Edmond is batting and not Yadier Molina, that's strike three. He ended up getting squeezed, walked in that run to make it 1-0, and then the next Carpenter hit the bases clearing triple, which was the end of Mejia. So I'm not going to be worried. I'm not worried about Mejia as of yet. Let's see what he does. The bigger worry is you got Mejia followed up by Quantrill, and it used to be – you know, with all these days off the Indians have, you know, we've entered this 30 games in 31 day span where the margin for error and playing around with the rotation and three bullpen games a week, you could manipulate it because you have the days off. Well, that's rapidly coming to an end here. So Mejia and or Quantrill has to show. I mean, you saw Bieber had nothing yesterday, and they had to make sure to get six out of them because Tristan McKenzie, who you and I, you know, loved the last two starts, and he was great. And you and I were watching that in Columbus at that bar, having some drinks, talking about Cuba, having some food.
That's right.
You know, you just can't afford to do this. Every reliever, you know, the non-ace group, I guess you could say, but then Karinchak pitched on Saturday. So yesterday, Bieber was like, okay, no matter what, he had given up 5 runs on 10 hits, and he just had to get through 6 because Trevor Stephan gave 2 innings yesterday after pitching the day before. So good for him. But we can't afford another day, another, you know, back-to-back days of clunkers. It just can't happen. And it's the biggest problem. You know, you and I have talked about this before. We never thought that the biggest problem on the team was going to be how can we get 5 starters in a week, but it's easily the biggest problem the team has right now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, the offense needs help, and it's needed help all year. There's some guys coming around, including Ahmed Rosario, who I will admit, I said he's just a guy. He's been more than that. I'll eat it. I'll accept it.
Ahmed, baby.
Woo! I mean, look, I'm off his case. I he's not wowing me to the point where I'm going, oh my gosh, he's our shortstop of the future. But hey, you have to play him every day, and he's hitting nicely. He's hitting around 280. I have no issue with him. He should have had the walk-off RBI hit the other day, but Cesar Hernandez had no idea where the ball was. Didn't end up mattering. It became even more fun with the Seawald throwing error. But hey, give Ahmed Rosario credit. He's played well. So some of that is getting fixed. Eddie Rosario's coming around. Ahmed's coming around. That's good. But you're right. It still starts with pitching and catching the baseball. The defense is still atrocious. More bad defense yesterday. And then, you know, but again, you have two pitchers. I mean, until Plesac comes back healthy, who are the 4 and 5 guys in this rotation? Who are they going to rely upon as they continue to go? You're right. Mejia at times, especially the first two hitters on Wednesday night in St. Louis, he looked great. And then he just lost it. And then he got squeezed. And then it just was like, oh my gosh, it's 31 pitches. He's still on a little bit of a pitch count. He's pitched against Baltimore before. He had some success last week in Baltimore, so he'll pitch again tonight. But then it's like, what else? I mean, they've tried Quantrill, his splits. He's so much better out of the bullpen, but he has to pitch on Tuesday. He won't go long, but he will pitch and start. Then who pitches Thursday? Eli Morgan was supposed to start yesterday for Columbus, and they pulled him, but no one said anything yet. So is he pitching Thursday? Because Savali will pitch Wednesday. You know, they tried Henches. They've tried everything, and it just nothing has worked. And, you know, they tried Logan Allen earlier in the year. McKenzie, give me a break. You know what? It's time to send him to Columbus and keep him down there, because this I got to say it, Todd. I wasn't feeling it today, and the fans were there, and I wasn't used to it. You should have been more amped up. He didn't look interested Saturday. So,
you know,
what is that?
That's an interesting cat. That is for sure.
And I'm not giving up on him. He's young. I like him.
Of course not. It's so early in his career and his development, and it's going to take some time. And I think we've been spoiled by the fact that Plesac came up out of nowhere straight from Double A and was great. Savali came up from Double A and was great. You know, Beaver came up immediately, was great. I mean, we're now seeing what the majority of Major League Baseball teams see. I mean, look at the Mariners and the crap that they trot out this weekend, or the Orioles this week what they're going to throw at us. You know, I mean, we've just been spoiled from it. But McKenzie was supposed to go down and work himself out. It was just out of necessity that he had to come back up and pitch, and the fact that he actually put together those back-to-back really good starts gave him this other one. Now he's down and has to stay down for 10 days unless there's an injury, but you know, and he comes up to take someone's spot on the injured list, from the injured list. But so he has to stay down, and I think he will. My guess is on Thursday it'll be Sam Henches, unless the only way it wouldn't be, first of all, they said I was listening on my way home from the game yesterday, Hamilton said before the game, Francona said that there really isn't any options in AAA right now to bring up, or from the minors, he said. So it sounds to me like it's got to be Sam. But if in the next 2 days one of these two starters gets lit up and Sam has to go and pitch two or three innings, then you're really screwed on Thursday. So it's going to be Sam Henches or a bullpen game, but the bottom line is this. They got two starters, and they got three games every, you know, the rest to figure out. So it's just so important that Mejia and Quantrill give them at least five. You just got to give them length. We can't keep – the bullpen's been so good, and these guys are going to die out there if they don't get their act together.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to Eli Morgan and why he was pulled yesterday. I thought it was because they were bringing him up, but maybe not. Your guess is as good as mine. It's, you know, in bringing a lot of these young players up, we have to remember that there was no minor league season last year. You know, who really has a minor league system?
I was just going to say that. You beat me to it. God damn it.
But, you know, but it's the truth. I mean, you know, like you said, I watch plenty of other teams, and they're supposed, you know, Kelenic came up from Seattle and went 0 for 39. You know, I mean, here in Michigan, the unnamed team. Oh, wait till Mize and Scoobal come up. Woo, you know, I mean, Mize is decent. Scoobal's fine, but, like, they're not lighting the world on fire. It's going to take these people a while. I mean, Owen Miller was hitting 400 at one level, comes up here, and he can't crack 130 here. So
it's unbelievable. And there was a quote that I saw on someone's Twitter. I can't remember who it was. And then Francona said, Tito Francona said the same thing, which was there's never been a bigger gap between
AAA and the majors,
than there is right now.
Right.
Because these minor leaguers, the major league players played a short 60-game schedule last year, but there was no minor league season. So these a lot of these guys missed a huge year of development. And for an organization like ours, it hurts even more because the Indians are all about player development, and that's the only way they're going to compete. So it definitely hurts. The Owen Miller thing. you know, all you heard, he was great in the spring. All you hear about was he's a hitting machine. He's a hitting machine. He's so good. He started off 20 for 40, and he's come up and looked so overmatched. I mean, he's 5 for 46.
Yeah. Yeah.
With one extra base hit. I mean, that's bad. I mean, you and I have been, I love Yu Chang, the human being, but he's not a great baseball player. But right now, if one of those two's got to go down, I'm sending Miller back down. So at least he could get every day at bats.
Yeah, he needs to be playing and getting his confidence back. Now when you're sitting down and you know, I don't know if he'll play tonight, but with the emergence of Bobby Bradley, there's not a need for Owen Miller every day. And with Ahmed Rosario playing well. So it's crazy. It just, you know, you're right. They're not going to, these guys aren't coming up from Columbus, whoever they are, and, you know, lighting the world on fire like Zach Meisel did in the Solon Rec League back in the day. You know, that's just not, that's not happening. And so that's where you hope, like, next year, some of these Akron kids, and that lineup at Akron led by Tyler Freeman, Will Brennan, all those guys, you know, Nolan Jones has hit a home run in Columbus. You hope next year is the year where it's like they have a full year of the minors, they get to spring training, you know, Gabe Arias, whoever, and then you start to really have these young players come up and contribute. But like you said, that gap is just so wide. But, hey, Bobby Bradley is one guy, though, Todd. Todd, give him credit. He's done a really nice job, and you can tell with his at-bats that he's battling. Even the broken bat base hit the other day, you know, hit a home run on Friday night. So when he's up there, at least he's a threat. But he's also 25-26 now, and he's ready for this. He's had 3 years of AAA under his belt. So I'm just pissed that it took so long to bring him up.
Yeah, this was the time. You know, we said this before, but this is the year to find out about these guys. This is the year to find out about Bobby Bradley and Daniel Johnson and the, you know, the 25-20 Josh Naylor, you know, these guys that are of the time where, okay, this is their time. Let's see it. You know, I don't think we're going to see Daniel Johnson. I don't know, or if we do, it's going to be a while. But you know, it's time, and Bobby Bradley's here. I like that they're playing him every day. He had some really nice at bats over the weekend. He had a nice week. Yesterday was, you know, the first at bat, he struck out on three pitches, was hideous. But that Logan Gilbert looked good yesterday. By the way,
he's good.
He's very tall. I didn't realize.
I mean, he's a first round pick. I mean, he's
he's very good. He was very good. And you know, but the Harold Ramirez emergence is kind of push Daniel Johnson off to the side because those are the at-bats that Daniel Johnson would be getting.
You mean Big Harold?
Handsome, hard-hitting Harold? Big Harold. Yeah, come on.
Do you think Harold Ramirez knows that Matt Underwood calls him Big Harold? Do you think they've talked?
That's a good question.
I know media is now allowed to talk to the players, like at least on the field.
And shout out to our friend of the program, Andre Knott, who back on the field this weekend doing interviews. And it's such a better thing than he's up in the booth with the headphones and the, you know, it's just the interaction, because there's always Andre, where he really does a great job is he just, his interaction with the player on the field, and he can feel it out. He does a good job with it. You can tell that the players respect him. And, you know, it's just such a better thing than being up in the booth and trying to talk down in headphones. So that was, you know, that was good to see too. You know, that's another return of this weekend besides the fans is having the back of the field. But no, I don't think that he knows that he's Big Harold. Maybe he does. I don't know. But that's a Jensen and Al thing. And yeah, we don't need this.
Al Pulowski, what a comeback. Matt Derry, Todd Derry. It's the Derry Brothers Tribecast at waitingfornextyear.com. Thank you for listening. Tribe and Orioles start tonight, 4-game series, and then 3 in Pittsburgh, which means NL rules for the weekend. How many times Underwood says Steel City this weekend? 7? 8? 7.5?
S City? I thought that was Souvenir City.
But he'll say Steel City. Like he'll say,
what
you
about,
know.
As in, okay, as in ST.
Like when they play in Detroit,
it's in the Steel City. Okay.
Tribe is walloping the Tigers here in Motown. Chi-Town.
The Indians will play him in front.
I'm saying he will say the words Steel City. I have the over-under this weekend. It's 7.5.
7.5.
All right. Let's focus. You were there yesterday.
Yes, I
for
was.
The Jake Bowers revenge game. You knew it was coming. It was just a matter of what day it was.
You know, I made the mistake of, I took a photo. Wants to be on the screen. I have a picture on the scoreboard. And if you do a picture and it's hashtag all our CLE, they put you on the scoreboard, which they show like 5 pictures a game. So we take this photo and I send it out from the show account, and it says, we're just here for the Jake Bowers 0-for-4. Or to see Jake Bowers do his thing, as in go 0-for-4. And it's, he laces a double, hits 2 deep fly balls, and walks. He reached base twice in front of me, and he hit the ball hard 3 times.
Yeah?
it was nauseating. Oh, and he also started that inning ending 3-6-3 double,
yeah, the double play on Jose. Yep, yep.
Yeah. I booed him. You know, it's funny, I didn't boo him his first time up because, you know, Ags texted me. He's like, oh, are you and Brookie going to go and boo Jake Bowers like your dad would or something like that? My response was, I'm not going to boo him because it's not his fault that he stinks and the team just gave him too many at-bats, right? Like, that's not on him.
No, is he even worth booing? It's not like, I
booed him after he got the hit the first time up because I was annoyed by the fact that he swung at the first pitch and hit a rope off him.
When they introduced him, did anybody cheer? Like, I know it was Sunday.
Nobody
so it wasn't
booed the first time up. I heard boos every other time after that.
Interesting.
And I yelled hunger strike at the top of my lungs.
You just knew one of these games. You didn't figure it would be against Shane Bieber, but you knew just one of these games he would have a decent day. I thought he'd hit a home run at some point over the weekend, but he didn't. The fact that Seattle picked him up, what does that tell you about Seattle? You know, like, just, we even got a player to be named later and some cash for him.
They played him in the outfield over the weekend, too.
I didn't know.
He was in right field, I think, on Saturday.
Oh, okay. I didn't notice that. I just knew he played all 3 days because we had all right-handers going. That's all we have, but.
Exactly. Besides Sam. And then now, yesterday, Mitch Haniger, let's talk a little Mariners inside baseball. So in the first inning, Mitch Haniger lined one right off his leg, went down immediately. It had to be, I haven't seen, it had to be serious because he immediately was taken off the field. Like, normally these guys, you know, they hit one off their knee, they try to walk it off. He couldn't put any weight on them, they immediately took him off the field. And he was replaced by Jake Fraley, who hit that.
He crushed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fraley's the one that made that catch against the unnamed team this week over the fence. He had a good week, that kid.
Do I know how great my daughter is? She showed it to me on MLB's TikTok.
The catch?
Yes.
She knew about that?
This is the guy, not 30 seconds before this podcast started, she showed me on her phone. This is the guy that hit the home run last night, or yesterday.
Well, she's hardcore, man.
Yes, she is.
I love that.
Hardcore. Yep.
That's great.
Yes, sir. Speaking of hardcore, if you want a dentist who's hardcore about everything from Cleveland sports to being vigilant about teeth cleaning and providing a warm and friendly environment, you got to check out the Center for Advanced Dentistry and Dr. Ben Hornstein and his partner, the great Dr. Sean Schlesinger. If you're looking for that dentist, go to cfad.net or call him at 216-595-1710, and they'll take care of you. Again, anything from a routine cleaning to smile reconstruction, full mouth makeover, they're going to give you many reasons to come in, take care of them, and come back for more. Even if you want to just go in there and shoot the shit with Doc, he'll do it. Dr. Ben will talk to you about anything under the sun, especially if it's Cleveland sports. So again, check him out at cfad.net or give him a call at 216-595-1710 and let them know that the Gary brothers sent you. Now, Matt, yesterday when I went to the game,
yeah,
you know what shirt I was wearing?
The John Rocker jersey. Sorry. I saw two of those yesterday on my feed.
Yes, I did. I took two pictures. The fact that one jagoff decided that wearing a John Ryder jersey was funny was one thing. But two in the same game I saw?
How about that?
What is wrong with people?
That's crazy. Didn't you also see a Frank Herman jersey?
I did.
I need that.
I know. That was a good one. The Pride of Harvard wore the glasses. He was good for a minute, Frank.
Yeah,
Herman.
Like 2 seconds.
He was like our fifth or sixth guy, and he was pretty good.
Number 56.
That's right.
Loved it.
But
that's awesome.
The t-shirt I wore was my Uncle Brian and the rest of the boys Breaking Tea t-shirt from Breaking Tea.
Dude, you and I met up with our with our mom and a bunch of people. Well, not a bunch of people, but my daughter, everybody else. Excuse me, in Columbus, and we were at Easton Town Center. Is that what it was?
Yes, we were. And let me tell you, that place rules. Shout out to Easton. That place is awesome. They need that here in Cleveland.
And you know, outdoor mall, indoor mall, the whole thing. And Reese and I are walking to the car after we say goodbye to you guys, and this guy walks by me in a Cleveland baseball team T-shirt that's also at BreakingTea.com/Dairy, the Cleveland Collection. So, we're seeing Breaking T-shirts all over the place. Breaking Tea T-shirts all over the place. You had your Uncle Brian and the boys shirt, like I said, the Cleveland baseball team one, the blue with the red lettering. Get your Franimal shirt. Get the Jose Ramirez shirts. There's a couple of different ones. Really, it's the best place to go to get your gear. You know, yesterday was this big, was it the Jarvis Landry softball game, or was that Saturday?
Yes, it was Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, perfect time to be rocking your... Now that it's hot outside, you want to support the Browns, Cavs, Indians, whomever. Go to BreakingTea.com/Dairy, D-E-R-Y. That takes you directly to the Cleveland Collection, and you can get all of your stuff there. You know, there's talk about the name. I don't even want to do that topic today. But the Bring Back the Spider shirt, there's so many different shirts there that you can get. And if you're not a Cleveland fan and you want to, you're like the Padres or you're into the NBA playoffs, NFL, whatever it is, their stuff there is great. So go to BreakingTea.com/Dairy, D-E-R-Y. That takes you right to the Cleveland Collection. Thanks to our friends at Breaking Tea for supporting this show. You know, you brought up something yesterday about the White Sox. They just swept in Detroit over the weekend. Not a surprise. And did it with ease. Rodon nearly threw another no-hitter yesterday.
Got squeezed.
Totally. He threw a 2-2 curve to Haas, former Indian, who actually hasn't been horrible. And it was like right down the middle. The umpire missed it. And then the next pitch, or two pitches later, Haas hits a double. But Rodon nearly had the no-hitter. But here are the White Sox. Todd, we're 5.5 out. That's the biggest lead in any of the divisions in baseball. They're really good. I mean, do you look up and say they're uncatchable now and the Indians need to be playing for the wild card? Because the wild card isn't easy either because, quite honestly, Houston's playing well. Boston's really good. The Jays are coming around. So it's going to be difficult to make the playoffs, let's be honest.
It is. And you know what? The White Sox are doing this with a banged-up lineup. You know, they're pitching the way the Indians were supposed to be pitching. Lance Lynn's been unbelievably good for them. Carlos Rodon was going to be their fifth starter. And he could win the Cy Young.
His ERA is under 2.
Yeah.
As a starter.
He's been and he's throwing harder than he's ever thrown before. It's actually, if he wasn't on the White Sox, I would probably be like, you know what? I mean, it is. It's a really nice story. I mean, they're, other than the fact that their manager is that jackass, Tony La Russa, the genius, They're actually a likable group. I mean, they have really good young talent, and they, you know, they spent when the time was right. And am I going to say that they're uncatchable? I mean, look at this: their run differential, best in the American League, best in all of baseball at +106. You know what the Indians' run differential is?
I know we're in the red. I know we're minus.
-8. So we're 5.5 games back. The Indians are lucky to be 5.5 games back, to be honest. White Sox are 25-11 at home, which is also pretty incredible. But I don't think they're catchable. I don't. I mean, the Indians, listen, you know that you and I, we both bleed for this team. The way that things are going, you're going to have the White Sox get into a prolonged slump, and the Indians are going to have to get some sort of a streak going. But it doesn't seem like they can put together more than like seven. You know, they had the nice streak at the beginning, you know, about a month ago. But do you see them ever going more than, you know, 5 out of 7 or, you know, 6 out of 10, you know, 7 out of 10? I don't see an 8-game winning streak in their future, you know, or something like that. So they are going to be hard to catch. And to your point, looking at the wild card standings, you know, Boston is hot. They've slowed down a little bit. Houston's playing good ball. These teams don't lose. And the Blue Jays are knocking the cover off the ball. They're a game and a half. Right now, it's Red Sox are a game and a half for the one seed of the first wild card.
Top wild card, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and we're a game and a half. The Indians are third currently, a game and a half back. But nipping at their heels is the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays are, I mean, did you see what they did to Boston yesterday? They put up 18 runs. They had 8 homers.
Vladimir Guerrero's approaching 20 home runs. I mean, they're 1 through 5. And we saw it.
He's not approaching. He's got 20. Oh, no, that's. He has 21.
Does he? That's yeah. That's crazy. Last I looked, he had 19. But, I mean, their 1 through 5 is sick, and then they're getting Springer back soon. They're doing all of this without George Springer. Come on. That's pretty good.
That's,
you know, I'll still take our pitching over theirs and our bullpen over theirs, but, geez, these are good teams.
When they came in here and just racked us around, and I know that one game was rain and whatever, and then they ended up splitting the doubleheader, but you just look at their team compared to the Indians, and it's amazing that the Indians have a better record than them, to be honest. I mean, it's wild. But, yeah, I don't think the White Sox are catchable. I mean, maybe you disagree with me. I don't see it happening.
Well, I mean, like you said, no Robert, no Eloy, no Madrigal now for 2-3 months. It's a lot, and yet they still continued. Their depth is better than the Indians, and it's not, you know, when the Indians are calling up guy. Yu Chang is a AAA player, okay? He's a 4A player. Owen Miller had to come up from AAA. You know, here's Bobby Bradley, looking good, but again, we don't know yet. When the White Sox lose guys, they have Andrew Vaughn, they have Billy Hamilton, they have
Billy Hamilton
for like 2 seconds. Who's the other kid? Adam Engel. Adam Engel's a big league bat. He is.
Yeah.
The Indians don't have that. And it's.
Leury Garcia. That's another one who
right.
plays on the
record. Leury Garcia is a bit player for them that plays a few days a week at different spots. He would be every day in the Indians lineup. Not even close. So, like, that's the problem. And while the tribe battles, and you look up and go, man, you know, even before yesterday, you're going, we're 7 over .500. We're in decent shape. And I do think they'll be in this race the whole year. It's not like the Indians suck. They're going to get Plesac back. They're going to get Roberto back that they need. Although Rene Rivera, we didn't bring up his name, had a monster shot off the wall Saturday. And, you know, for a third catcher, that's 37. That was some kind of at bat. But
yeah, that's all you can ask for. But, him. He's been fine.
But
yeah.
You're right. Day in and day out, you look up and you go, man, the White Sox offense, you know, Jose Abreu is an MVP type, or was last year. I mean, Tim Anderson, they got some studs. And our stud is Jose Ramirez, and then you kind of hope and pray that somebody steps up. There's just not enough depth in that lineup, and that's a problem. On top of the fact that any of these days, and the reason why our run differential is -8 is because the pitching, when there's been bad pitching and they get blown out, we don't win a lot of 9-8, 8-7 games. You know, the other day,
we don't win any 9-8.
Saturday's game was a bit of an anomaly. That was 6-5 or 5-4? 5-4. So that was a bit of an anomaly, but there's just not enough. There's not enough. And that's disappointing, certainly. But, you know, hopefully they need Franimal back. And it's going to be another, what, month, you think? 3 weeks?
You haven't heard anything yet, so that's not a good sign when you don't hear anything. You know what I mean? Well, it's not a bad sign, but normally it's like, hey, you know, he's going to start swinging a bat next week. We haven't heard that yet. So, I mean, you've heard that Plesac's going to start throwing and that Roberto's, you know, hand has been a little bit better, but or thumb. But, yeah, you hear nothing about Franmil. So, you know, it's imperative that one guy in particular gets going, and he's really in a slump, and that's Josh Naylor.
Yeah, last we looked, what, 4 for his last 28? Terrible at bat against Misevich yesterday. Just struck him out on a high fastball that was like over his head. I love Josh.
He tries so hard.
He does, but like when he's taking it the other way. But again, you know, who outside of Jose and I guess Cesar Hernandez is hitting home runs? That's the other thing. Not a lot of power in that lineup right now. Bobby Bradley has it. It's a matter of whether it, you know, it will move from Columbus to Cleveland.
Yeah.
This is the week to do it. This is the week to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Harold, you know, it is what it is, but you're counting on Harold Ramirez to, like, really be a key cog in his offense. And if I told you at the beginning of the year, hey, Harold Ramirez is going to be a really, really important guy for this team, you'd be like, what? So, again, they're counting on a bunch of guys that you just hope that it's going to work. But Naylor has been given the chance to be an everyday player, and he's been hot and cold and hot and cold, and, you know, made a couple bad plays at first base yesterday when they played first. And I really want to like Naylor, and I do like him. Like, thank God Ahmed Rosario's been stepped up a little bit. You know, he's done a really nice job over these last 6 weeks. But, if Bradley or Naylor or both could get going, we say it over and over again, but it's like this offense is like revolved around, let's sit here and wait for Jose Ramirez to do something. You know, that's the whole thing. So it's tough.
No, it is. And we'll see where this thing goes this week. You're facing the second worst team in baseball in Baltimore and the third worst team in baseball in Pittsburgh, I'm pretty sure. I know Arizona's the worst. Arizona's terrible. The Orioles, by the way, have lost 15 straight road games. Are you aware of that? 15 straight on the road.
Oh, great. Looking forward to them coming in.
And they beat the Indians 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. And then Pittsburgh has lost 7 in a row overall. So, like, we're facing some teams that are just dog shit right now. So, time to beat up on them. Let's go over the pitching matchups and wrap this thing up. What days are you going this week, by the way?
I'm only going on Wednesday. I was there yesterday and Wednesday.
Because they're
back out of town over the weekend. So I may go Thursday afternoon, too.
Come on.
Wednesday.
You'll
Let's
be there.
I'm going Wednesday and Thursday.
And Thursday. All right. So tonight, of course, the 24-year-old J.C. Mejia gets another shot at it. Here's who's pitching for Baltimore. Are you ready for this? They're bringing up from, I think it's Norfolk? What is it? Is it Norfolk or Norfolk?
Virginia. My dad used to say that joke. Have you ever heard the Norfolk State fight song? We don't drink, we don't smoke. Norfolk.
But pitching for the Orioles tonight, it hasn't been announced officially, but I was doing some Twitter research and looking up Rock Kabatko and Dan Connolly and these guys that have covered the Orioles for like 30 years.
What about Peter Schmuck? Is he still around?
I don't believe so. And then there was
He was a big honk for Uncle for Larry.
Yes, he was.
Modell. He was always defending Modell.
To hell with Modell.
Rest in peace.
We want Greece. Pitching for the Orioles tonight is none other than Dean Cosmo Kramer. Do you know that Dean Kramer was bar mitzvahed in Israel?
What?
Yes, he's Jewish. Hardcore. This is show research, baby. What do you mean? We're Wikipedia. Dude, I'm all over
I've never heard of Dean Kramer.
Kramer.
Is he
get out of here.
Steve?
I don't know about that. But he is. I'm glad you can make yourself laugh. Dean Kramer, K-R-E-M-E-R, was bar mitzvahed in Israel and lives in Israel 2 months out of the year. It's all on Wikipedia. Because I was looking it up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he pitched earlier in the year, and he was bad. I'm like, yeah, I'll look it up a little bit. Next thing you know, it's all like stuff about how he's on the Israeli national team, and he's real religious. So,
all right.
good Yontif tonight to Dean Kramer. We could say it. We're Jewish.
Yes, we can. We're allowed.
Cal Quantrill on Tuesday against Matt Harvey. I mean, if you can't beat Matt fucking Harvey, then you don't deserve to, like, be in the playoffs. I can't believe he's still in baseball, let alone
Remember
starting.
Last year we played the Orioles, and we just destroyed him. Or no, it was two. I was there. It must have been 2 years ago. Was he on the Orioles? Oh, no, he was on the Royals.
He was on Kansas
right?
City. After the Mets.
I went to the game. It was 2 years ago. I'll never forget. I don't think he got out of the first. He was so bad. And I remember he walked off, and whoever I was with, I was like, this is sad. I think the his career. I think we just saw the last time he's ever going to pitch. This guy was supposed to be
The Dark Knight.
Dwayne Gooden.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he just is so – I can't believe he's still going. It's pretty amazing.
Wednesday, Aaron Civale, you'll be there against a Tribe killer from last week, Keegan Aiken, the lefty.
Oh, that means I got to see Yu Chang play first base. Okay, yeah.
And then, well, not necessarily.
Yeah, that guy destroyed us. We had nothing. That was the old, like, 90s, early 2000s. Throw the obscure lefty at us, and we had nothing for it. It was exactly what that was. Ugh, that was gross.
And then Thursday, of course, undetermined at this time for the Indians, and the Orioles pitch righty Jorge Lopez. He pitched against us the day we got smashed.
It was Sunday, yeah.
18-5 or whatever it was. Yeah. Yep. Then they go to Pittsburgh, of course. The Thursday game is a day game. And then Friday night, Shane Bieber against Chad Kuhl, a former member of Team D's. He's a righty. J.C. Mejia on Saturday against something named Will Crow. Have you heard of him? I haven't. Right-hander.
No, I haven't.
And then really,
is
Pittsburgh's
Crow, like,
best.
With an E, like Trevor? Or...
Yes, spelled like Trevor, okay. Yes.
I do not know him. I'm not familiar with his work.
No, and then Sunday, I think Pittsburgh, this has been pretty much their best starter, JT Brubaker. His ERA is under 4 against, I guess it would be Quantrill Sunday. So that's what we're going to see. So only one lefty this week.
Right. No excuses this week.
None.
If we go out and lay a giant egg, I'm going to be very upset next Monday. Do we have a guest, by the way, next Monday?
Oh,
gosh. You don't have to say who it is, but can you tease? Do we have a guest, or am I making
We're going to hit the minor league system.
Who really has a minor league
system? That's right. Come, what's up? Talk to me. We are going to we are heading to Columbus next week. That's all I'll say.
Oh, yeah.
So we will have a guest.
Back-to-back weekends, we'll be heading to Columbus, me and you.
We'll have it. We'll have next Monday, we will get a Clippers update. So we'll leave it at that.
Can I just say before we go, shout out to you and your daughter for the great idea of meeting in Columbus. And it was great. And shout out to that bar. I don't remember the name that we were sitting in, the outdoors. They put on the Tribe game for us.
Big screen, the whole thing. It was great. In the shade, it was perfect.
In the shade, yes. It was a key. And had a couple of...
adult beverages.
Adult high noons.
Leah, yes, your wife and I, we imbibed on a couple of high noons. I had the mule.
Even mom had a sip of an alcoholic beverage.
Don't out her now. Well, I had the mule, a Moscow mule, in the copper cup, copper glass, in honor of... the mug in honor of the executive producer,
executive
Jeremy.
Producer's drink, that's right.
You know?
Good stuff.
So.
By the way, shout out to the entire executive producer clan who's probably listening to this on their way home from the college visitation tour of the DMV. So I hope it was a good time.
Tribe and Babes.
Try not to kill each other in the car.
Tribe and Babes.
That's right. What more could you ask for? What more could a woman ask for?
Oh, man. What'd you think of that look, by the way, of the bartender, the woman with the... She had the Sinead O'Connor look with the shaved head.
You want to know something weird?
She was cute.
I kind of dug it. The short hair, I liked it on her. I don't think it would work for everybody, but I liked it on her.
There you go. All right, that'll do it. That'll do it. I don't know where this is heading. That'll do it for the Dairy Brothers Tribecast on a Monday, June 14th. Let's get some wins this week. I mean, what, 4-2 minimum? Minimum?
Yes. I will accept nothing less than that.
I mean, it would be 5-1 or 6-0 would be great. I mean, this Baltimore team is... And Cedric Mullins, just lob the ball way outside or roll it. Or hold up four fingers before he even gets to the on deck circle, like, or to the batter's box.
He is a member of 10% capacity, so I could use some hits.
No, not against. hopefully, in a 9-1 game, he hits a solo home run, a la Johnny P. or Brooke Jacoby. So,
yes.
All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcasts.